This is Fresh Air. I'm Artie Moss-Cohen. As part of our weekly series of interviews from our archives, we're featuring this conversation, which Terry Gross had with Curtis Mayfield this past March. Mayfield is one of the great singers and songwriters of soul music. In the 60s, with his group The Impressions, he had such hits as Gypsy Woman, People Get Ready, I'm So Proud, We're a Winner, and It's All Right. In the 70s, he did the soundtrack for Superfly. In 1990, he wrote some of the music for the sequel, The Return of Superfly. Later that year, he was the victim of a freak stage accident. He was performing at an outdoor concert before an audience of about 10,000 in Brooklyn, New York, when a lighting scaffold was blown over by a gust of wind. It fell on Mayfield, breaking his neck, leaving him paralyzed from the neck down. Shawnakie Records has released a new tribute record featuring Mayfield songs performed by Jerry Butler, Delbert McClinton, Bunny Wailer, and others. Half of the royalties will go toward Mayfield's medical bills. Today, we pay tribute to Curtis Mayfield with his interview with Terry Gross and with some of his great records.
We're a winner, and never let anybody say, well, you can't make it, 'cause a feeble mind is in your way. No more tears do we cry, and we have finally dried our eyes, and we're moving on up, moving on up. Lord have mercy, we're moving on up, moving on up. We're living proof and all's alert that we're two from the good black bird, and we're a winner. And everybody knows it too. We just keep on pushing, like your leaders tell you to. At last that blessed day has come, and I don't care where you come from. We're all moving on up, moving on up. Lord have mercy, we're moving on up, moving on up. Woo.
I asked Curtis Mayfield if he's been able to write songs since his accident.
No, I haven't been writing, to be honest. Since my injury, there's been no writings from Curtis. However, I hope that these things may change very soon, being that there are different computers and instruments that I'm about to get off into that may help me to relate my writings as well as my music through vocal contact and what have you.
Is there still a lot of music in your head?
Oh, yeah, I think so. With me, everything is a song. Probably even through our conversation, there may be a few ideas.
Do you have memories of the accident, or do you not remember what happened?
Well, my personal memories of the accident are quite faint. Being as it did happen to me, I wasn't really around to observe too much.
What do you remember?
Being on the floor and waking up on the floor, paralyzed.
I'd like to talk with you, if you'd be willing, about your past and, you know, your music career. I know that when you were growing up, your grandmother had a church, the Traveling Soul Spiritualist Church. Did you hear her preach a lot?
Oh, yes. Reverend A.B. Mayfield, Annabelle Mayfield. And, of course, I heard her preach a lot. And I probably, even in my sleep, subconsciously observed a whole lot of her sermons. And I believe through herself and my mother, who was quite fond of all types of music and poems and things of that sort, she used to read to me a lot of the old Paul Laurence Dunbar writings and lyrics, and I was quite acquainted with the limericks and Dr. Seuss of the old years. And and of course, I identified with her teaching me a few things on the piano as a youngster. So through these two ladies, I believe over the years, I've carried out not only my ambitions, but theirs as well.
Now, did you sing in her church?
Yes, I did, as I became older. Around 7, 8 years old, I became acquainted with my cousins who was a part of the church, and they started a group known as the Northern Jubilees. And I believe this is what sort of laid out my fundamentals as to harmonies, because I can recall years ago playing and my watching this black and white specialty record, which was 78 RPMs then, and listening to such artists as Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers, the Five Blind Boys, and of course you'd have to wind up this Victrola that we had and insert needles every so many records to keep, you know, to keep it going proper. And this is how I got started, I believe, with my harmonies.
What part did you sing in the group?
I was always a tenor.
When you started playing guitar and started writing songs, were they secular songs or gospel songs?
They were what I would think pop songs, you know. While I have written a few gospel songs, which would be looked upon as gospel, I call them more inspirational. Such songs as People Get Ready and Keep On Pushing. Keep On Pushing actually was written as a gospel song. However, I found that all I need do was change one lyric or one word, and it was pop for us.
What, the word was God that you would change?
That's right. Instead of God gave me my strength, I said I've got my strength. And it don't make sense not to keep on pushing.
Why don't we play the impressions, People Get Ready? And maybe before we hear it, you could tell us about how you wrote the song, when you wrote it, what was going through your mind then.
Well, I can't really recall when I wrote this particular song, but this is a perfect example of what I believe has laid in my subconscious as to the preachings of my grandmother and most ministers when they reflect from the Bible. You know, people get ready, there's a train coming, there's no hiding place, you don't need no baggage, you just get on board.
Why don't we hear it? This is Curtis Mayfield and the Impressions.
Train a coming. You don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the dealers honing. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. Train to Jordan, picking up passengers coast to coast. Faith is the key, open the doors and board 'em. There's hope for all among those loved the most.
Curtis Mayfield is joining us from his home in Georgia. You became the lead singer of The Impressions after Jerry Butler left, and the first hit that you had with you as lead singer was Gypsy Woman. This was, I think, 1961. So you wrote the song, you sang lead. It's a great record. It's funny. The lyric is about something that I'm sure you had absolutely no firsthand knowledge of. You know, a gypsy woman who, you know, all through the caravan, she was dancing with all the men. I mean, did you know any gypsy women when you wrote this?
No. And that's absolutely true. But I saw lots of Western movies.
Oh, right. I'm sure I saw the same ones.
Yes. And it's funny, 20, 25 years later, I'm in Germany, and I'm performing in concert, and I'm hearing people, you know, calling for Gypsy Woman, which was in the repertoire, but I hadn't come to it yet. And after the show, I had an interview such as what we're doing now, and the interviewer spoke in terms of there being lots of gypsies in the place, which was out of the ordinary. Gypsies never came to concerts. And, of course, they asked me about it, and I had no idea other than maybe the song. They liked the song. Well, after the interview, across the street, I'd been invited to a restaurant where there was about 50 to 75 gypsies, all the men sitting in a circle and their women in the middle. And when I walked in the place, they gave me a standing ovation, great applause. And one of the gentlemen came up to shake my hand and they say, "Curtis, we've been waiting for you for 20 years.
My guest is soul music star Curtis Mayfield. A freak stage accident in 1990 left him paralyzed from the neck down. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Curtis Mayfield is joining us from his home in Georgia. You were one of the first, pop songwriters to write songs that became, well, Black Pride anthems. Songs like "Keep on Pushing," "I'm So Proud," "We're a Winner." Did you have any awakenings in that area? You know, was there a period when you became more involved with, you know, the Black consciousness movement, or more?
Well, through my own ways, more so through my songs.
Mm-hmm.
However, through my songs, I became acquainted and met many people, such as Andrew Young and the Reverend Jesse Jackson and Martin Luther King and our mayor here, Mayor Jackson, and others. They were young men, and we were the youngsters coming up under them. And through many of our songs, and with the help of so many fans who were just people, we were involved.
Curtis Mayfield is my guest. He's joining us from his home in Georgia. Did you have any problems handling success as a young man?
No, I've always been, if you may allow me say, quite calm, cool, and collected.
That's good. Were the other people in the group able to handle it too?
Oh, yes. Fred, Cash, Samuel Gooden, they were true brothers, and they still are. I mean, even to this day, and I'm 50 years old, I dream of these fellas, our being in concert and all the things that we probably have done. And I love them like brothers, maybe closer.
You said before that singing in the gospel group helped you understand harmonies and that you use some of those harmonies with the impressions. Let me play a record that I just particularly love the harmonies on. And this is "I'm So Proud." It's really such a beautiful ballad. How would you work out the harmonies for one of the records? Maybe you could talk specifically about working out the harmonies on this one.
Well, a song like "I'm So Proud," there was nothing to work out. As soon as I would say "prettier than all the world," through my melody, would automatically come the harmonies of Fred and Sam. There was nothing to work out. It was easy as apple pie.
Let's hear "I'm So Proud."
Prettier than all the world, and I'm so proud,
I'm so proud,
I'm so proud. You're only one fellow's girl,
I'm so proud of being loved by you. And it would hurt to know if you ever were untrue. Sweeter than the taste of a cherry so sweet. And I'm so proud, girl.
I'm so proud.
I'm so proud of you. Compliments to you from all the people we meet. Yes, and I'm so proud.
I'm so proud.
Believe me, I love you too. I'm so proud of being loved by you.
Curtis Mayfield is my guest. Let me skip ahead to Superfly, the songs that you wrote for the film of that name. It's really such a great score, you know, such a great set of songs. How did you get the assignment to write the songs for the movie?
Well, a gentleman by the name of Philip Fentley in New York came to the Lincoln Center where I was appearing. Between shows, I met him and Sig Shore, who was to become the producer. Philip wrote the screenplay, and they were very hot about, especially Philip, who was from 125th Street in New York City. He wanted me to write the music for Superfly.
Was Superfly the first time that you used the wah-wah guitar?
It probably was.
How did you start doing that?
Well, I didn't use the wah-wah, to be honest. One of my guitarists actually introduced the wah-wah to me, and he was actually the wah-wah player.
It's funny, you know, every action TV show ended up, like, using that sound afterwards.
Well, that was a quite popular gadget or instrument.
Yeah. Let me ask you about one of the songs I particularly like from Superfly, and that's Freddy's Dead, which I think became one of the most popular songs from the movie. I mean, one of the really good things about it is that the way this song tells a whole story.
Well,
do you want to talk about writing
my
that?
Lyrics in song, if you listen closely, will not only give you a lyrical balance, but also give you a visual balance. And I think that's probably what was appreciated through Freddy's Dead, is that you could also see it visually, and it spoke of a young man who was a decent guy overall, but was dealing with the wrong crowd, in with the wrong crowd, and his doings were of of the lowest caliber, dealing with drugs, and his old lady wasn't helping him any either.
It is dead. That's what I said. Let the man rap a plan, say he'd send him home, but his hope was a rope, and he should have known. It's hard to understand there was love in this man. I'm sure all would agree that his misery was this woman and things. Now Freddy's dead. That's what I say. Everybody's misused him, ripped him off and abused him. Another junkie plan, pushing dope for the man. A terrible blow, but that's how it goes. Freddy's on the corner now. If you wanna be a junkie, wow. Remember Freddy's dead. We're all built up with progress, but sometimes I must confess, we can deal with rockets and dreams, but reality, what does it mean? Ain't nothing said. Cause Freddy's dead.
The new record, People Get Ready, is a tribute to you by many artists, and I think the profits from the record are going to be used to help pay medical bills?
I'm sure it will. The monies are being accumulated, and they certainly are appreciated from all who has made tribute. And you're certainly right in with people of my such injuries, you probably wouldn't be surprised, but the bills and things that has to do with upkeep and care are tremendous.
You had health insurance when you had the accident, didn't you?
Luckily, I did. As a matter of fact, I got the health insurance about 6 months prior to the accident.
Wow. What inspired you to get it?
Well, I was looking for it all the time. I had always kept my family and myself insured, but there was a year or so that I just I could not afford to pay the $7,000-$8,000 insurances that was required of me, and I sort of got lost in the shuffle, such as many people. And upon regaining myself financially, I was able, through Ichiban, the help of John Abbey, and of course the company and people I worked for, to get health insurance, and right in the nick of time.
Curtis Mayfield spoke to Terry Gross from his home in Atlanta last March. This is Fresh Air.